And releasing the report demonstrates that America, the America I love, is different. As Americans, we cannot sweep our mistakes under the rug and pretend they didn't happen. We have to acknowledge our mistakes. We have to learn from our mistakes. And in this case, we as Americans must and will do everything we can to ensure that our government never tortures again. 5 years ago in 2009, I called for a commission of inquiry to review the then administration's detention, interrogation program, and other sweeping claims of abuse of executive power in the Bush administration. I believe that in order to restore America's moral leadership, we have to acknowledge what happens in our name, because much of the leadership that we can show around the world is not based on our wealth or on the power of our military, but on moral leadership.
The civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I must say tonight that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Thursday night edition of AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. How's everyone doing this evening?
Doing pretty good, Sam. Doing
well. Hey, Lisa, let's start things off with our disclaimer, and then we'll get this ball rolling.
Okay, we just want to remind everyone that we are not attorneys and that a just cause does not provide any type of legal advice. You want to contact your own personal legal advisor for your legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests do not necessarily reflect that of a just cause. And as always, thank you for tuning in and choosing to spend just a little bit of your evening with us.
Thank you, Lisa. And if you're one of our regular listeners, we ask that you, or we know that you realize that our Thursday night edition is Spotlight on Capitol Hill. At the top of the program, you heard a clip from Senator Patrick Leahy from the state of Vermont. And a little bit later in the program, we're going to actually be featuring some of the works of Senator Leahy. What are your thoughts?
Well, he's a patriot. Folks, we said this before the 4th of July, to maybe break out the American flags. You may want to do that as a tradition on Thursday, because here on AJC Radio, Spotlight on Capitol Hill is a big thing. Lisa, Cliff, we've been a part of something pretty special. But as we have highlighted some very serious pioneers on Capitol Hill, I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Senator Patrick Leahy fits the mold of a champion that is in search for justice and public service to the American people. Some exciting things definitely ahead.
Absolutely.
Lisa, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that Senator Leahy is making some tremendous strides, and I'm looking forward to everything that we're going to go over and discuss that he's been doing here in the last. I mean, he's been in the Senate seat for what, over 40 years now, Lamont?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we had the lion here not too long ago, Congressman Charles Rangel, you know, you got some pretty strong folks up there. That many years of service, Sam, as he was alluding to, you know, dealing with the torture issue in the opening clip, saying that America cannot be with basically blood on their hands and guilty of such tragedies and horrors, if you will, of torture. That was a very hot topic in this country and has been on Capitol Hill a major issue of concern as we search for and claim to be the free world and a place of democracy. we have to live up to that reputation of honoring that.
Well, you know, Senator Leahy has been a part of a bipartisan effort, if you will, for prison reform and judicial reform, and as you know, that's obviously fits right in with A Just Cause and AJC Radio. And so when they talk about the torture and solitary confinement and all those kind of things, there have been several hearings on Capitol Hill with regard to those types of things. And even the living conditions and so forth, which you have personally spoke of here on the program, the conditions that you have experienced or you had experienced when you were wrongfully incarcerated. So our phone number this evening is 347-838-8976. 347-838-8976. If you're a regular listener, stay put. We're going to keep going on some current news here in a moment, and I'm sure that most folks have heard about that senseless shooting in Cincinnati. And if you are a regular listener, call a friend, call your family, tell them to tune in. You know that you're always going to get some exciting dialogue and some exciting exchange here on AJC Radio. And so we're going to dedicate a little bit of time, Lamont, to that subject. Again, our phone number is 347-838-8976, 347-838-8976. Chat room is open. Jump in there. We got folks that will field your questions. And if you have a question or a comment yourself, please give us a call, and we welcome that. Lamont.
Yeah, and Sam, you're absolutely right on that. You know, this comes with some very, very sad news tonight, as we have lost another person to police brutality and excessive force.
This was police stupidity.
I mean, what adjectives are proper for this type of madness? I sat there today and I was looking at the video of this man killing this man close range. Listen to this report. We'll be right back with you.
9233 traffic stop.
It looks like a routine traffic stop, but things start to go wrong when the police officer spots a minor offense.
We don't have a front license plate on your car.
The officer asks the driver to get out of his car, but then suddenly...
Stop! Stop!
Officer Ray Tensing said he shot the driver in self-defense because he was trying to run him over. But video footage left on his own camera belied his claim. A local prosecutor called it a senseless act driven by anger.
He wasn't dealing with someone who was wanted for murder, okay? He was dealing with someone who didn't have a front license plate. If he's starting to roll away, just seriously, let him go. I mean, you don't have to shoot him in the head. And that's what happened.
The 25-year-old has now been indicted on a murder charge. If convicted, he could face 15 years to life in prison.
He should have never been released. After they saw the film, why is he still walking the streets? Because it was murder.
The incident on the 19th of July was the latest in a string of deaths of black men at the hands of police, including Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. The Washington Post reported in May that nearly 400 fatal police shootings had occurred since the start of the year.
That's crazy.
Well,
that is absolutely crazy. And you know, when you have the district attorney, the prosecutor, saying that it was the most asinine thing that he has ever seen, and that this guy shouldn't even be a cop, that speaks volumes.
Well, Sam, I tell you, I'm at a loss, man. And folks of America, if you are not outraged by this, and come to find out, Sam, this was a university cop.
Yeah. You don't have...
You don't even have jurisdiction. What? Excuse me. You're on a side street, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're on a side street in a neighborhood, a block, less than a block from his house. Now, the gentleman said the license plate is on the dashboard, which I've done that before.
Yep.
If, because you know what? Sometimes the cars that you get, if it's a used car or whatever, you know, the screws may not fit on the front plate. So you know what? You put it in the dashboard, and
as long as it's in plain
it's
view.
It's in plain view. Tell me this, Sam. How does a university wannabe cop go off campus outside of his jurisdiction. This didn't happen on the campus.
And even if it had, you've got to look at the fact that this is not something that a university cop is not there to stop you for not having a license plate. If you run a light, if you run a stop sign, he's there to say, hey, look at the stop sign.
That's right.
You got these university students that walk in the streets. Be careful. Or somebody's being attacked. That's what a university cop. You are not there to patrol the streets in such a manner that you're messing with people because they don't have a lot. If I got expired tags on the university cop don't talk to me about that.
No, what you get is a ticket.
There it is.
If something happens on the at the university. Sam, they are told to call authorities.
When there
are shootings at universities, they are told to call authorities. What are you doing on a side street nowhere near the campus? I got the feeling he wanted to be a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are an ambulance chaser. With a bat. You have no reason pulling anybody over.
That's true.
I used to be a security guard, Sam.
Yeah.
I was a security guard.
Yeah.
You know what they told us? You get in a conflict on that premises or this company, call 911.
That's right.
I didn't go to, you know what? I didn't go to police training, police academy.
Yeah.
Guess what? You want to come in here and rob this place? I'm not going to die for it.
That's right.
I'm securing the perimeter.
But when you look at this, you look at the stop was over a front license plate. I mean, and when the prosecutor is saying he purposely. Now you think about a prosecutor and what his position is. They're always, you know, we know they got a 98-99% conviction rate, but they're always protecting their best interest.
That's right.
The people that work for them, they protect the government's interest. So you have a prosecutor who is saying that this officer purposely killed a man. And he should never have been a police officer. The part that gets me real, real bad is what Officer Tensing says. He said he thought he was going to be dragged under the car, and the old police mantra, anytime they kill somebody, especially a black man, it's self-defense.
That's right.
I feared for my life.
But tell me this. How the fart are you going to get dragged by a car when you're standing beside it? When you look at the video, you can see inside the window.
That's
you can
right.
see the steering wheel.
Well,
if that car, even if he turned the car as far as he could to the left, you are not going to drag this man.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the protocol was skipped. When an officer stops you for a traffic stop. Now, this is what's sickening to me. The officer said, do you have a license?
Yep.
He says to the officer, when he got ready to reach to look for it, he said, no need to do that. Okay, number one, whatever. Then he turns around and says, do you have a license, sir? I got to figure this out. The gentleman...
Samuel DuBose.
Samuel DuBose makes the statement. I'm a licensed driver. Run my name. Three times.
Yep.
The cop comes back and says, well, I need to know if you're licensed. Well, run my name. I've been stopped. Didn't have my license on me. Run my name.
There you go.
The cop goes back to the car. He calls it in. Shows that you are licensed, and he gives you a citation.
And I think even here, Lamont, if you don't have your license, you get a citation. You have an opportunity to show up at court with your license.
And it's usually dismissed and thrown away.
Absolutely.
I read a report today, Cliff, Lisa, Sam, that said this, that since the beginning of this year, 400 police fatal killings in this country.
That's absurd.
400. Now, here's what's crazy about it. To me, and the statement in that particular story that I remember reading today said this. African-American men are getting pulled over and dying, which in most cases, what they would do of a different race, you get a summons.
Yeah.
But black people are getting killed. You got Sandra Bland. She gets pulled over for changing lanes.
Yeah.
When she's trying to avoid whatever type of issue, she ends up dead in custody in Texas. The bottom line is, now they claim there's some suicide, whatever's going on, but guess what? Had you never stopped her.
She should have never been in jail.
Had you never stopped her.
That's right.
Guess what? Nothing happens.
That's right.
This is insane to me.
And you,
yeah, go ahead, Cliff.
I mean, you look at this cop and you say, okay, if I don't have my license, first off, you're supposed to say, okay, well, I'm going to give you a citation for driving without a license, and we're going to see what the court says about it. But then you look at, when you look at this video, the cop is opening the man's door.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you opening my door? You don't have probable cause to search my vehicle. You haven't seen me do anything wrong. The only thing that you have is you're missing a front license plate. Why are you reaching into my vehicle and opening my door?
Number one, you're not a cop. Number one.
Yeah, you're not a cop.
Number one.
You're on a, you are a university security guard, pretty much, with a gun. Why he's got a gun, I have no idea. But you trying to open this man's door. He closes his door back. And sure, as citizens nowadays, we got to be in fear for our lives with police officers. While the police are saying, well, I fear for my life. No. Me as a citizen, when a cop comes up to my
window and opens my door,
it's like, it's time for me to leave because
this
is about to get real bad. And,
right.
I mean, he's pulling off. Oh, I thought he was going to drag me in the car. How did you think he was going to drag you in the car? He's pulling off.
But
all you had to do was step back.
But like the report said, the body cam denied that claim.
That's right.
It showed very clearly you are lying.
And it's showing the importance of the body cam. And you know, there are a lot of explanations, pros and cons as to why folks don't want the body cam. And I think it's because of this type of situation right here that when a rogue cop does something against the books, he wants to be able to cop out, just like Cliff was just saying, just use the old adage or the old cop out that says, hey, I fear for my life. And if no one else was around and no one else saw what was going on, hey, that's the standard operating procedure. That's what I'm going to put in my report.
Go ahead, Lisa. Go ahead.
And now here's the other issue that gets me under my skin just a little bit. His attorney, this officer, Tensing's attorney, says that he was shocked that his client was indicted on a murder charge.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he said, I figured he would be indicted
on something. But certainly he didn't think it would be murder.
I'm sorry. There's a man that's shot in the head close range, laying over his steering wheel on the side of a road in Ohio. And I'll tell you what, how did this man think he was going to get away with his story with a body camera attached to you?
And what did the attorney want him to be charged with? What, you wanted him to be charged with jaywalking?
Well, they charged him. Wasn't it manslaughter that they charged him with?
No, they charged him murder.
Murder.
He
and,
did get murder.
Manslaughter.
Yeah.
Now, how he's facing 15 to life, 15 shouldn't even be on there.
Yeah.
I think, do we have a caller?
Yeah. We got a caller on the line. We have LaWanna. You have a comment. You're live.
Hi. How are y'all today? This, you know what, if people don't wake up and do something about these crooked cops, I'm not talking about the good ones. I'm talking about the crooked cops and the wannabes and everything. Everybody feels like now I can just go up to a black man and shoot him down. It don't matter because I'm going to get away with it like all the rest of them did. Something has got to be done about this. So, you know, they always talk about that we want everybody to come together and trust each other. They're getting worse instead of better. My God, you say every black person in America and everywhere else going to be scared for the cop pull them over because I might be dead the next second. This is phenomenal here. And people have to, something needs to be done. It's getting worse and worse and worse. They just continue to kill blacks like they're flies. This is phenomenal. And here's why they need a cop. I'm just going to go shoot me a black person. I'm going to shoot him, shoot me one. Everybody else is shooting, I might as well shoot. Something has got to be done about it. I have never been so enraged in my entire life. Because every time you turn around, there's another killing, and it's you, and they don't even ask. Was it a black man? Of course it was. Was it a black woman? Of course it was. It's always that they're switching over to just shoot them down in the street instead of hanging them from a blame rope. This is phenomenal. Thank you for your time.
Well, I'll tell you what, ladies
and
gentlemen.
There.
Look, this outrage has to happen.
Yes, it does.
This has to happen. And I'll tell you what, going into, Sam, what we're getting ready to go into, spotlight on Capitol Hill, this is why we need to reach out to legislators, to Congress, members of Congress, senators, the judicial, everybody in D.C. to say, look, you're talking judicial reform. You're talking prison reform. You're talking we need to make a change. Ladies and gentlemen of America, until we become outraged, another life that matters is gone.
And you know, Lamont, in the city of Cincinnati there, they have recently been receiving accolades for their police community relations collaborative as a model for the nation as to how the police department works with the community and so forth. And I believe that's why you got the response that you did from the district attorney, and you got the response that you did from the chief of police there in Cincinnati, because they had a shooting, I think, either in the year 2000 or 2001, where a young 19-year-old black man was gunned down, and it just nearly tore this, ripped that city at the seams, very similar to what happened in the city of Baltimore. And so, you know, when you have that kind of thing happen, and then you think that you're on the right track, and then you have someone that just, you know, a bad cop that does this kind of thing, you know, it brings to mind that old saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean,
absolutely.
It's like you think that things are changing, and then some senseless act like this happens, and it's like, oh, things are still the same.
I mean,
I don't want to, you know, throw everybody in the same boat, just like the caller just said. You know, for the cops that's doing it right, you know, when you have someone like this that comes along, and then it does make you put up that question mark. I mean, my wife and I were talking about this last night, and it went to the point of saying that if I see lights flashing behind me, I am not pulling over. I'm going to put on my emergency lights, and I'm going to slow down. I'm going to go to a populated area.
Sure.
I might even drive to the nearest police department and pull up in their yard. And it's like, okay, if you're going to gun me down, you're going to gun me down in your front yard. Because it's like, I'm not going to let it happen out on the street.
Absolutely. This is unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, we will visit this again.
Oh, man, this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible.
I'll tell you what, and me and Lisa had an opportunity to speak to some people today, and a statement was made, and tune in Tuesday, but a statement was made that they're looking and fighting things as far as civil rights and violations, and guess what? These are things that matter. And I tell you what, this needs to be attacked. We got another caller, Clifton, it looks like?
Yes. We have the truth on the line. You want to make a comment? You're live.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking, if we were talking about this young man that just got killed today, or yesterday, the bottom line is everybody's alarmed by what we see. But I think it is, we have not yet recognized that this type of behavior is not new. This behavior for killing black men, or black people for that matter, has been going on for years. The thing that makes it different is that we're living in the technology age, to where now you can videotape and see what's going on. Because before, if there was a conflict with the police officer and a citizen, especially black, whatever the police said was taken as the truth, and the black man was lying anyway. So now we're seeing it on camera, and we're watching it happen before our eyes. But really, this has been going on for, many, many years. A lot of blacks have been killed all over this country by corrupt police officers everywhere. We're just now coming into the place where we can say, I can't believe this. But the truth is, a lot of it never was reported in the media. And if it was reported in the media, it was reported where it was slanted toward the police officer, that this person had done something to this police officer or threatened him or whatever. But this stuff has been going on forever. It's just like in our prison system. We've got people being tortured to death behind the walls, behind the prison walls. And it, when the time comes, and it will come, that the cover will be pulled off of all the torture. We say we're a nation that don't torture our enemies. Well, we're doing a good job of torturing the ones at home.
That's right.
And so these men are behind prison walls. They're being abused. They're starving to death. Some of them have become so depressed and being shut up in cells 23 and 24 hours a day. All this stuff is going on, and America on the outside is going on with their lives without any knowledge. Once God exposes what is going on behind those walls, we're going to have the same type of emotional reaction, and that is, I can't believe this. Well, it's been going on forever. But nobody, I don't understand why our officials in Washington, or the media for that matter, is not allowed to go in and see how our prisons are run and quit on them, letting them know you're going to come. Well, if I know you was going to come and break in my house, why wouldn't I wait and watch for you? And why wouldn't I be in a position to defend myself? So what they do, they have these inspections in these prisons, and they let in so many people now. Down in ADX in Florence, they don't even allow anybody in there. Well, I'm a firm believer, if you feel that strong about it, apparently there's something going on behind that wall. Why can't we come in? Why can't the media go in? Why can't our legislators go in and see the torture being done to these men while guards laugh and make fun of what they're going to do to them? It is a tragedy in this country, but it is a modern-day slavery. Slavery is not over, and they might as well take a look at it and say, wait a minute, we might give it another name, but in actuality, it's still slavery. It is modern-day slavery. Black men fill up most of our prisons. That's the same thing that happened in slavery. Black people were the ones who were being abused and shot and hung and cut off in different body parts and all kind of stuff that went on in slavery. It is happening in this country today. Torture to our citizens. And in spite of the fact that some of these people that are in prison, no doubt, committed the crime. But we say we don't torture our enemies. Well, then why are we torturing our own citizens? So this is a tragedy. And I think that we're not looking at something new. We're looking at something that's been going on for a long time. We just got cameras shooting, and taking pictures of it. We would have never known about the man in New York being choked to death. You'd have never seen that. You would have got a story in the media that this is what happened, this black man attacked some cops or whatever, and they would report it exactly that way. But Mr. Garner was being he was being photographed, so we could see that it was Mr. Garner. And we could see that you was choking this man to death. And I can't believe you kill a man in this country for a few cigarettes. It is unbelievable. And one of the former FBI agents was saying this evening and on CNN, he was saying, we don't kill people for not having license plates. Yes, we do. We kill people for less than that. And then they say, well, I fear for my life. You got to be in a certain position to fear for your life. And as Lisa made the statement, you standing by the car and it's going to run over you? How stupid do you think we are? And how naive is the media if you believe that? But this is, I mean, we're living in a very bad time where people are, the human life is not a value, especially if you're black. So I think that we're just in for greater things to come for us, torture and the things that have happened in the prisons. You got officials who's over the federal prison and state prison, and people are tortured to death, and nobody cares. And so we're just beginning to see this. But right now, everybody's saying, is another one killed? They killed another black man, another black woman, whatever. And we get so upset about it. But it's more to come. And I think a lot worse than what we've already seen. So if I was you, I'd fasten my seatbelt and get ready for what is getting ready to happen in this country. Because I truly believe that God has said enough is enough. And I'm going to expose the torture, the abuse that's going on in this country against black people. They deserve to have rights like everybody else. And I think the time has come. That's why Obama made it to the White House. God said it's time for Obama to be there. And he put him there, the first black president in the history of this country in over 200 years. I mean, come on. And then they say, it's the first black that ever held this position. It's the first black that ever did this. That every time you say that, you say what a racist you are. And how sad it is that in this country that people are so full of racism until this day, we are still saying that the first black who ever did this, the first black. It should not be that way. It should be, here's a person who was honored, who's got this position, and it shouldn't matter whether he was black or white. It's a tragedy, and I think we're in for a lot more. Thank you so much for the call.
And thank you for taking a few minutes to call. I mean, what words? You can't argue with anything that's said. And Sam, it says here, our research team pulled this together, that the jurisdiction of the university police as defined by state law is the campus proper plus 500 yards. The officer can operate beyond the 500-yard limit under the following conditions and still retain their full police authority. The officers can leave campus if they are in hot pursuit of an individual they believe has committed a crime on campus.
Well,
that's it.
Seemingly driving without a front license plate, that's a crime that you're in hot pursuit of.
But he's not even on the campus.
Yeah, I mean, this is totally ridiculous. You're coming to get me because I don't have a front license plate. You're not even a real cop. Go sit down.
I didn't learn that till that's unbelievable, Sam.
That sounds like he needed a little activity on that afternoon and had nothing else to do.
Well, when he gets to prison, he's going to get a nice workout.
Yep. Well, as we will continue to follow this case, I believe what they had a $1 million bond on that officer, and so he's out on the streets. You know, it just makes you kind of shiver when you think about what this country is leading to when it comes to these types of things happening, because it does not stop. It does not stop. You're listening to AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. Our phone number this evening, 347-838-8976. 347-838-8976. The chat room is open. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, spotlight on Capitol Hill. We're going to be putting the spotlight on Senator Patrick Leahy from the state of Vermont. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Did you know that there are over 2.4 million people behind bars in the United States? I'll ask you one more question. Were you aware that that is the highest number of people behind bars in the entire world? The United States makes up of only 5% of the world's population.
But we have over 25% of the world's prison population. America prides itself on being the most advanced and progressive nation on earth. However, sadly, we are also the world's most archaic. I'm going to give you a personal invitation to get involved with the fight against mass incarceration. Take a few moments to call 1-855-529-4252. That is a Just Cause, and we fight for justice. Again, call a Just Cause today. Don't delay. Call 1-855-529-4252. It is time, and I say high time, that we take America's incarceration seriously. Won't you join us? Call today.
These are the voices that prisoners in solitary confinement hear every day. Out of Arizona's total of 2,076 prisoners held in solitary, 30% are taking prescription medication to deal with mental illnesses, and 11% have diagnosed schizophrenia. Experts report that the extreme and prolonged isolation exacerbates pre-existing conditions and appears to even cause mental illness in prisoners who were not previously ill. While prisoners deserve punishment, Arizona can do better. We need to change the solitary confinement rules. Unlike any other states, Arizona prisoners are held in 8x10 cells for at least 23 hours a day, with no windows and virtually no human interaction. Perhaps the best way to fix solitary confinement so it strikes a balance between punishment and humanity is to decrease the size of solitary units. Colorado, Texas, Mississippi, and Illinois have decreased the size of their units, only admitting prisoners who need the rehabilitating experience, and have saved over $6 million without compromising prison safety. A study produced in Colorado reported that after decreasing the number of solitary units, prisoners experienced an improvement in overall mental health of the confined inmate population. How can we do this? We need to reach out to Director of Corrections Charles L. Ryan, asking him to decrease the number of solitary units. Solitary confinement needs to remain a place for punishment and behavior change, but it can also be a place of innovation and rebuilding.
AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and Lamont Banks. This is the Thursday night edition of AJC Radio, and you know what that means, Lamont?
Well, spotlight on Capitol Hill, and ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you right now, given the discussion that we've had prior, and to the senator out there tonight, if he's listening, or his staff, understand this is your night.
Senator Patrick Leahy.
Absolutely, and we're going to get ready. This is official as we talk about change in the judicial system, the criminal system, everything that we're dealing with. Senator Patrick Leahy is somebody that's laying down, and no pun intended, folks, laying down the law, and that's exactly what they are sent to Capitol Hill to do. And Sam, as we've looked over some of the things, Patrick Leahy, I know he was the chair of the Judiciary Committee, I believe on the last term, the last Congress that was in. We've had an opportunity to do some things with Congressman Leahy. Sam, why don't you go into that and the impact of that particular legislation that we were able to send out in regards to the press releases, things along those lines.
about the what act was that, Sam? That
well, you know, Senator Leahy, he was elected in just to cover a couple of other quick items. He was elected into the United States Senate in 1974, and he remains the only Democrat elected to that office from Vermont. And he has been very active in the
Justice role.
The Justice for All Reauthorization
Absolutely.
Act.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one.
And so, and as a member of the Judiciary Committee, those are the kind of things that he's been involved in. And, you know, on that Justice for All Reauthorization Act, a just cause was so taken by the issues and the points that that act and the reauthorization of the funding for that act supported. I mean, things like, you know, DNA testing and that type of thing. It is important because of the fact that Senator Leahy, he recognized the fact that there are a lot of players involved when you get into the judiciary situation. So you have a person who may be accused of a crime, and then you have the victim of the crime. Well, what worse tragedy could it be is to have a victim of a crime find out that the person that they thought committed the crime against them was not the person that committed the crime against them. So you have that adds to the mass incarceration problem that we have. You got thousands of people that are sitting in prison that did not commit the crimes that they were accused of. Why is that important? It's important because of the fact that now you have a let's say in the case of a rape or even in a murder situation, you have families thinking that the person who committed this horrendous act against their family is sitting in prison. Well, the types of issues that Senator Patrick Leahy has supported in things like the Justice for All Reauthorization Act, it provides more funding for DNA testing. So you can find out if a person is in prison, they're saying, I didn't do it. Do the DNA test. Now they're taking care of that backlog. That's what it's all about, is the backlog of DNA testing. And they're truly finding out that there are thousands of people who did not commit the act. So now you have a victim being re-victimized, and then the person who was wrongly convicted and sat in prison for 15, 20, 25, 30 years, they are a victim as well. So you have situations where crimes are, for all practical purposes, not solved.
Well, Sam, you know, when you go there, it speaks to, we say this all the time on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, there are people in Washington, D.C., that are there for one purpose. That is to serve the American people. Now, being the sitting chair of the judiciary, when he was, again, the last Congress, that's where he sat. This is what he says, what it says, that he's currently on the subcommittees, administrative oversight and the courts, the Constitution, civil rights and human rights, conservation, forestry, natural resources, nutrition, food and agriculture, everything that affects a nation, Senator Leahy has his hand on.
That's right.
He is connected to that. And when you talk about that, Sam, that really brings up the patriotic in me. When you have a senator that says, look, this is an act that needs to be passed because the DNA, which is critical. They had, someone shared with me of the last statements made by men on death row. And one man, when they got ready to put him to death, he made this statement. Would you just check the DNA? It will show I'm not guilty. Would you plead? He pleaded. Check the DNA. And their answer? Nothing. And they killed this man. So when the reason I bring that up, Sam, Lisa Cliff, is because it goes to show the importance of what Senator Leahy, and you know, Senator Leahy's been there 40 years.
Yep.
He has seen a lot of stuff and he's heard a lot of stuff. Somebody has to have a passion to say, I'm going to not stop working until we bring about change in this country. That, ladies and gentlemen of America, is patriotic.
And what you have to look at is something as simple as you have a man on death row saying, just check the DNA. And Senator Leahy has come to the understanding is that, you know, what most American people have come to the understanding of, that common sense does not reside in Congress. It's about laws. It's about processes. It's about political posturing.
we need some common sense, because how difficult would it have been just to say, okay, let's check the DNA and see if this man is really the perpetrator of this crime. But that does not have any place in law. Common sense doesn't reside there. So Senator Leahy has taken this common sense approach that we need to basically deal with what is on the table and in a common sense manner go after it. Something as simple as check DNA on every case that has DNA. That is so simple, and it has freed so many prisoners that have not been guilty. I mean, we think about the year 2014, a record number of expungements of crime based on DNA checking. If you check the DNA and it doesn't match with the person you have in jail, case closed. They get out. That's so simple.
And, you know, last summer, I think it was, when a Just Cause jumped into the, actively supporting the Just Fall Reauthorization Act. And we put out a press release, like you were saying earlier, Lamont. And that press release, it really just gained momentum. And by the time it had been out there, just a very short time, it had pushed out over 500,000. Impressions on the internet. As far as the number of people who at least saw the page, and then the numbers of folks who read the entire thing. You know how they do all those statistics,
sure,
and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, over half a million impressions on that press release that a Just Cause put out there.
Well,
so I say that to say that, well, as other senators and congressmen are working on things, when you get advocacy groups involved like a Just Cause and AJC Radio, it does make a difference. It makes a serious difference. One of the things that Senator Leahy said in one of his press releases when he and I believe Senator John Cornyn from Texas, when they were pushing for this, they actually said that, and Mike Cliff was saying, they're taking these things head on. Senator Leahy made a comment. He said that, the Justice Department had put out a report, and the Inspector General of the Justice Department, they found that there were a lot of flaws in the processes. He said that the report focused on 13 crime lab examiners whose work was seriously flawed and whose testimony contributed to the convictions of thousands of offenders, including, and you made mention of the death row situation, Lamont, including 60 people on death row. Senator Leahy went on to say that the Justice for All Reauthorization Act gives us the chance to fix some of our most grievous errors. Now, for a legislator to admit the fact that there are errors in law says a lot.
Well, I'll tell you this, Sam. I'm sitting here, folks, do we got an American flag here in the studio? I think maybe we need to pull it out. Let me tell you something right now that makes a lot of sense, and that's very important. This is awesome. Senator Leahy is the chief sponsor of the Innocence Protection Act, which addresses flaws in the administration of capital punishment. Part of Leahy's death penalty reform package, which were enacted in 2004, helped reduce the risk that innocent people are executed by providing for post-conviction DNA. You mentioned that earlier, Sam. Testing and better access to competent counsel. That's critically important.
Absolutely.
We got a call, Cliff?
Yes, we have Reese from Utah wants to make a comment. Reese, go ahead. You're live.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good.
So my comment is that, it's very interesting that Senator Leahy's pursuing this thing back, actually, and being educated in that sense. When we look at definitely capital punishment in our country and the DNA backlogs, I mean, it's just egregious right now that we don't even have any legislation on the table to address how we're going to test these DNA backlogs. I mean, some going far, some cases back in 7 years. I mean, there was an article written about this about 2 years ago. So not only just that, when we look at the whole entire prison complex right now and the things that private contractors get from having their prisons being filled in, and the lobbyists that create, you know, local inflation that affects people to go into these prisons, especially just even beyond the drug war, because people tend to mention the drug war, but, you know, I mean, there's other legislation, too, beyond the drug war that makes people face these prisons. And we should probably even talk about the encompassing fact of where do the Constitution lie within the rights of the people in prison, even if they are incarcerated, because that's a egregious thing happening to people. So I just had to read those comments.
Hey, we appreciate that. Good point, Sam. You know, I think when you say the number of people and impressions that were on the legislation that we got in back Senator Leahy, when people like the gentleman that just called, and thanks for the call, the people are concerned. People are very, very clear in what they're seeing in the judicial system. And I think, Lisa, with Senator Leahy being even not the chair, but he is the ranking member,
yes, he is,
of the judiciary. So this is a man that sees this stuff up close and personal, I would think, based upon that particular post that he holds on Capitol Hill. And I'll tell you what, it's very clear that a lot of people, Sam, based upon the numbers that you shared a moment ago, are very much aware that we have a serious problem. And it lets you know everybody's not sitting back on the couch thinking, who cares?
Right.
There's people that care. You don't get impressions like that unless people are caring and they are concerned. And I think Senator Leahy, going to the point we were talking about, even addressing the key thing, just imagine if we didn't have DNA and the technology of DNA now. Now, we still got a lot of people locked up that, again, the gentleman said, we're backlogged.
Yeah.
But this is a man who pushed this legislation. This is what he's pushing.
Yeah.
And he's pushing things that affect our lives, our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives. I don't know how much more American you can get than that.
Well, like you say, Lamont, when it comes to DNA testing, you know, that's something that and the backlog, just like there's a priority or there was a priority at one point as far as filling up the prisons, and there's still the prison industrial complex phenomenon, that's still an issue. That's why we have the mass incarceration problem. But just like that effort was to fill the beds in prison, there needs to be an effort to release people based on DNA testing, and then also, you know, the clemency activity that President Obama is involved in. I mean, we have to acknowledge the fact that there are issues, and that's one of the things I really like about Senator Leahy, is the fact that he is acknowledging that our system is broken. And it's amazing to hear the number of high-profile politicians and people in position in this nation. You got President Obama, you got the former Attorney General Eric Holder, you got the current Attorney General Loretta Lynch, you have people like Senator Patrick Leahy, who is a legend on Capitol Hill. You have so many people saying that our system is broken. Why can't we get it fixed, Lamont?
Well, I'll tell you what.
I think Cliff was getting ready to jump in.
Cliff,
well,
go ahead.
The thing that I wanted to say is that, you know, that is the first step in dealing with the issue. I mean, you have anything you go through, you know, you go through Alcoholics Anonymous, you go through some type of drug prevention, you go through, you know, anything with addiction, anything where there's a problem, the first thing that they tell you have to do, you have to come to grips with yourself to say, I realize I have a problem.
Yeah, you're right.
When the system won't acknowledge, that's why we need people like, Senator Leahy to come in and say, look, we have a problem and we have to deal with it. If America does not realize that she has a problem, then it's never dealt with. If a drug addict never realizes I'm addicted to drug, an alcoholic never says, you know, I'm addicted to alcohol, then you never can deal with the issue. That is the first thing that has to be put on the table. And this is what Senator Leahy has done and says, let's put this in the middle of the table. We got a 500-pound polka dot black and white elephant in the room. Well, 5 tons, let's say. and it's sitting there. But if nobody acknowledges, hey, there's a polka dot elephant in the room, if nobody ever says that we see him, that we know he's there, nobody ever deals with the issue. That is what we have to, that is where it begins in Congress, to say America as a justice system has an issue. We have to deal with it. That is the type of man that Senator Leahy is.
Lamont? I'll tell you this, you know, sitting here, says here, and Cliff, you're familiar with this in regards to some issues that had come up, that this was actually cited, says that Senator Leahy has been the Senate's leading champion of open government and of the Freedom of Information Act, and in 1996 was installed into the FOIA Hall of Fame in recognition of his efforts. He is the only one, he is one of only two politicians ever awarded the John Peter Zenger Press Freedom Award, an avid accomplished photographer. I mean, this man, the fact that he says and Sam championed the Freedom of Information Act, that is a very, very serious.
Oh, it is. I mean, how many times have you made a request for information and you get it and it's redacted? I mean, you get black lines all over everything where, you know, you're thinking, hey, here's the meat of this information that I need. And there's black, Sharpie done just wiped it all out. It's like, why did the government even waste
right.
the paper?
And that's the way that they that's what they do to cover themselves. Say, sure, we'll give you a copy of all these documents that you're looking for, all the documents that say that, you know, like we're talking about today with this cop killing this university cop, killing this man for no reason. Sure, you get the information, but everything is blacked out. Yeah, why did the cop kill the individual? All that's blacked out. Senator Leahy is saying, look, we need to ensure that that information is presented to the public.
That's right.
In every situation. We want to know why, like, hey, were people tortured at Guantanamo? Does America, has America basically violated the Geneva Convention? These are the type of things that have to be put on the table so we can deal with it. Nothing is going to change if you say, yeah, you ask for information, we bring you a piece of black photocopy paper. What are we going to deal with if that's what's on the table?
Well, Sam, you just asked me a question.
Yes, sir.
That question was, where has America gone wrong? What has happened?
Right, right.
I believe, this is sad to say, that the country has fallen into a state of culture shock. Now, what I mean by that is that the culture that we talk about on this program all the time,
right,
it's like a fast-moving current. And when you get dropped in a fast-moving current, thank God I've never been in that situation. I've seen it on movies and maybe some news reports. That's a very, very scary situation. And I think America has fallen into that current. It goes back to the earlier caller saying that this is the beginning of things just now being exposed or being to the forefront in the minds and brought to the attention to the people of America and the people around the world. Senator Leahy is one of those people that makes that step towards the right direction. That is what's important. And I said it last time on this show, Sam and Lisa and Cliff, you know, and if you're a voter, you probably took some elements and bore yourself to take some cold weather and go to those polls for a reason. This is, Lisa, what we have talked about for Spotlight on Capitol Hill. It is to highlight, to show.
Yeah.
People are up there fighting and trying to make a difference. Leahy is one of those people.
Well, yes, he is.
Lisa? Oh, okay. I was just thinking also, Lamont, that the caller that we had a few moments ago when the truth was talking, it's almost, and you make a very, very good point as far as the culture. You know, our borders are wide open. There are more, I mean, when you talk about the melting pot of the United States, I mean, there are so many diverse cultures and ethnic backgrounds that are in the United States now, in the mass numbers that exist. It's as if like Cliff was saying, the big polka dot elephant in the room, the family secret is out. You know, the United States is always for centuries, a couple of hundred years, has been purported as the you know big you know the big cheese, so to speak, the big chief in the world. We got the best of everything, and now you know the rest of the world is seeing the king with his clothes off, walking down the middle of the street, and you know the family secret is out. And it's like, sure. Hey, the United States is not all that always said they were. And social media, cameras everywhere. You got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got all kinds of stuff. I'm not even going to go down all the available social media that's out there. But as soon as something happens, it's out there.
Sure.
So we got a lot of stuff to do as far as you know putting on a fix for our nation. And when you have people like Senator Patrick Leahy, who, you know, it's obviously his passion because he has a track record, years of doing this, as far as saying, you know, and he was a prosecutor in Vermont at one time. He was a state's attorney. So to have someone as a state's attorney to take this road and say, yeah, I was a prosecutor, but you can see that he has a real appreciation for justice. That's what justice is about. It's not just about numbers and throwing people in prison. It's about fairness. If you did the crime, yeah, you're supposed to go to prison. You're supposed to do the time. But we can't continue to go down the road that we're going down, Lamont.
Well, no, and I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know what, it's time for America to take a look in the mirror and start making some changes. Some changes have to happen. And I'll tell you what, if you're looking for a administer of justice, I can tell you Patrick Leahy fits that mold. And folks, we said before, Cliff, you made the statement, we're not just going down we don't put a bunch of senators and congressmen names in a hat and pull it and say, I guess we'll talk about this one.
That's right.
Well, we got news for you here at AJC Radio and a Just Cause. We actually marched on the steps of Capitol Hill and in the halls of Capitol Hill and seeking justice. We have been into the offices of these congressmen and of these senators. So guess what? This is real. This is the real deal. This is no substitute or fake. This is about making a difference. And Patrick Leahy is a serious person in that.
And Lamont, to that point, even if you go to Senator Leahy's website right now, I mean, we've been talking a lot about judiciary type things and talking about law, DNA and so forth. Okay, how many years did African Americans and minorities fight for voting rights?
Yeah.
And how many lives were lost over voting rights? How many people were hanged because of just trying to get the opportunity to vote? And when the Voting Rights Act got overturned, now Senator Patrick Leahy's part of a bipartisan effort. Patrick Leahy, Durbin, Coons, and House Tri-Caucus leaders introduced legislation to restore and advance the Voting Rights Act. So, you know, he's taking on the interest of things even, you know, pertinent to the minority community. I mean, when you have people that lost their lives, well, just because it's like you're a part of this nation, you should have an opportunity to vote. The truth during the call a little bit earlier, you got an African-American sitting in the White House, in the top office in this nation, the top office in this world for all that matters.
Yeah.
And now you reverse and turn away, overturn something that is so critical?
Well,
you can't do that.
It talks a lot. And Sam, folks, you better get a fan in here for Sam, because I tell you what, it's heating up a little bit. And that's what happens here on Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. Folks, it's about 9 o'clock on the East Coast. The sun's setting. Folks, we're coming right back. And if you think you're warm now, you better put on the AC, because we're getting ready to heat up even a little hotter as we shine the spotlight on Senator Leahy, a man, a pioneer, a champion for justice. Don't go nowhere. Get your American flag and put it next to you, maybe next to the coffee table or the kitchen table, but I tell you what, this is American Dialogue here on AJC Radio tonight, and we're just getting started. Get a cup of lemonade. It's summertime across the USA, and this is AJC Radio. We're coming right back as we emerge on the steps of Capitol Hill on Spotlight on Capitol Hill with Senator Patrick Leahy. Hang on. We're coming right back.
Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday right here on HHC Radio. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart. Our phone number is 347-838-8976, 347-838-8976. You still have an opportunity to give us a call. Jump in there. The spotlight this evening, we're putting the spotlight on Patrick Leahy, Senator Patrick Leahy, from the state of Vermont. What, decades? In Washington, D.C., Lamont. And Lisa, I know you were looking up some information on something that you wanted to mention as far as some of the initiatives of Senator Leahy.
Yeah, one of the things I was looking at was he's doing a lot of work for fair sentencing, which I think is a vital problem, an issue that needs to be addressed in this nation. And what I was reading is saying that he has a long legacy of working on sentencing-related issues. In 2010, Congress passed the Fair Sentencing Act, and he was a part of that one. Continuing his work on sentencing-related issues, he introduced the Justice Safety Valve Act of 2015, this Congress. He introduced that with Senator Rand Paul, and this bipartisan legislation would expand a current safety valve provision that allows judges to avoid mandatory minimum penalties for first-time low-level federal drug offenders to all federal crimes subject to mandatory minimum penalties. Saying that this would restore sentencing discretion to judges in cases in which a mandatory minimum is unnecessary and counterproductive. Senator Leahy believes that our increasing use of mandatory minimums at the federal level without evidence to support that they're effective at reducing crime has resulted in unjust and irrationally long sentences that waste taxpayer dollars. As a result, our federal prison population, which we all know this, has ballooned to an unsustainable size and cost. Nearly one-third of the Justice Department budget is now spent on prison. And that is insane for a third of the DOJ's budget to be spent on prisons. And you know it's not all going to the prisons because the prisons, when you go into them, you know that all that money is not being spent in the prisons. That's what it's allotted for, but that's not what it's being spent for. And also, he said this would mean less money to hire federal prosecutors and FBI agents, less support to state and local law enforcement, and less funding for crime prevention, victim services, and a prisoner reentry program. Senator Leahy believes that in a time of cost cutting, we can't afford to waste more and more taxpayer dollars on over incarceration. To me, that is something that is very important. We've talked many times about how, I mean, the U.S. has the highest has more people in prison, I believe, than any other nation. Are we at the top?
We are definitely at the top.
Yeah. And I was just going to add to that, Lisa, to your point. A couple of weeks ago, we did a show on the alternatives that other nations are using to incarceration. I mean, you got Germany, you got Norway, you got all these other places that are opting to do fines and home confinement or just, you know, a whole host of other options that are available that do not put a burden on their their taxpayers or on their government budgets. And their results are much better than ours. I mean, the recidivism rates in these other nations is much better than the United States. And once we get out of this cycle of incarcerating people just for the sake of incarcerating people. I mean, they really need to just take an opportunity to say, just totally ignore the prison industrial complex
as a
revenue generating industry in this nation because it ain't working.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a moneymaker.
Sure.
They're making money off of it. One thing also I wanted to quote Senator Leahy, we all know about President Obama commuting sentences, going out doing his commuting. When he first commuted those first 46 sentences, Senator Leahy spoke out publicly about that. And what he said was the president has the power under the Constitution to commute sentences, and I applaud him for choosing to use his authority. For decades, our criminal justice system has been plagued by racial disparities and inequities, locking away too many people for too long. The cost is also breaking the bank. An increasing share of our criminal justice budget has been going to warehousing nonviolent prisoners instead of preventing and prosecuting serious crime. The president's right to confront this reality and to restore a measure of justice to those 46 individuals and their families who've seen firsthand how our justice system can struggle to live up to its name. I hope that this is one of many more such announcements to come, as this is still a small number of potentially qualified applicants, and there must be a sustained committee to address this injustice.
Well, Lisa, again, and when you hear that, Sam, it goes to the passion of Patrick Leahy. His passion to do what he does, and you'll notice he's dealing with a lot of judicial issues.
Yes.
He actually was instrumental in the Freedom Act being passed.
Yes, he was.
Let's hear what he had to say about that.
Thanks, Mike. As the most senior member of the Senate, I've seen a lot of battles, a lot of fights. It is so nice to see something where senators come together in the way I used to see when I first came here to the Senate, Republicans and Democrats working together. We passed the most significant surveillance reform in decades. We've done it by setting aside ideology, setting aside fear-mongering, said we will protect the security of the United States, but we also protect the privacy of Americans. We talk about the desert states. I suspect you have the same sense of privacy in your state that we do in ours. I've told this story before, but Marcel and I, our home is on a dirt road in Middlesex, Vermont. Our nearest neighbor, some distance away, a farmhouse farmer, has known me since I was a teenager. He hays the fields during the summer. And there's one article printed about me in a newspaper went just like this. Reporter on a Saturday in an out-of-state car. Says Senator Leahy live up this road. Farmer said, you a relative? Nope. You a friend of his? Nope. He expecting you? Nope. Never heard of him. We like our privacy. We like our security. We like our privacy. I am sorry that it's taken so long. I am sorry that we did not get it passed before the bill expired. But, and here's the important thing. It passed in a bipartisan way, and now both Senator Lee and I have talked about other pieces of legislation that we'll work on in the Judiciary Committee and elsewhere that can also pass with a bipartisan majority.
Well, there you have it, man. You know what? We say this every week, Sam. We're going to get some flags in here here in the next couple of weeks, because I'm going to tell you something. You know, he said he was excited about getting this legislation passed because it reminded him of what he was able to do when he first came to Congress 40 years ago.
Isn't that something?
That is something, man. But I'll tell you straight up. And ladies and gentlemen of America, we say this every week on Spotlight, man, this is worth going out for the vote.
That's right.
But I think more importantly, Lisa, is this is what the American people are not aware of. They're not aware of it.
No, they're not.
And that's why Congress's ratings, they say, are in the bucket and all that. You know why? Somebody has to speak up and say, you know, there is something going on here on Capitol Hill. As I've had the privilege of the trips, Lisa, you and I and others, to go and Cliff and be a part of something special and to see with our own eyes. We don't have to take nobody's word for it.
That's right.
There's something going on Capitol Hill. It's a matter of people getting on board and joining in the fight. You just don't go and elect an official and then not get behind them. All right, you in the office, take care. We'll see you and we'll be back at the polls in 2 or 4 years or whatever. No. They need your support now.
Yes, they do.
That's what makes a difference. And, Sam, it goes to those numbers you talked about. 500,000 impressions on the Justice for All Act, on those press releases.
Yeah.
That tells me the American people, as I said earlier, people are concerned. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what's going on. And what a great platform AJC Radio has for that purpose. I'm so impressed with Patrick Leahy because he's a full package. He comes with everything. We were looking at the of one of his legislation things he was working on in Congress, and I believe it was the violence against women. And give me one second. It was the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act of 2013.
Yeah, correct.
And it means the violence against women. You know, people say, well, you know, guys, people don't really care about women's rights. Well, you know what? Senator Leahy does. And it says here it was to add or expand definitions of several terms used in such act, including culturally specific services to mean community-based services that offer cultural relevant specific services and resources. It's about dealing with women who've been sexually assaulted, victims of domestic violence, identifying personal information with respect to those issues. Sam, those are issues that are happening very much, especially the domestic violence issues across the country. A hot topic here.
Yeah, and you know, it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier in when we were talking about the Justice for All Reauthorization Act. Senator Leahy, he looks at the full spectrum, so to speak. When you look at all the aspects of the criminal justice system and all the flaws, and he has seen it over the, you know, over four decades. He has seen how the system has failed the citizens of this nation. And when you see that, like Cliff said earlier, then you have to step up and say, okay, we need to fix this. And, you know, what was good for 1974 may not be good for the year 2015. Yet, when you still have old legislation, old laws on the books that tend to, you know, want to take our nation down one road, and I'm not saying that that's what this situation is, but when you do recognize the problems, then you do what you need to do to fix it. And so, like you said, as far as having legislation that recognizes the crimes against women and ensuring that there are measures in place to help to support those type of situations to fix problems. I mean, you cannot ignore when crimes against women have occurred. And if someone, you know, just wants to brush it under the carpet, so to speak, that cannot be.
Well, he makes the point, Sam, to that, that the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act, personally identifying information or personal information with respect to a victim of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, or stalking undeserved populations as populations that face barriers in accessing and using victim services because of their geographic location, their religion. Youth, to mean a person who is 11 to 24 years old, modifies or expands grant conditions under such act, including requirements relating to non-disclosure of personally identifying information or other client information, information sharing between grantees and subgrantees, civil rights and non-discrimination, audit requirements for grants and nonprofit organizations. Man, did I leave anything out? Is the kitchen sink in there? I mean, folks, this is somebody that is doing something.
Well, and you know, Lamont, he is a very big supporter of the National Crime Victims Rights Week. So, you know, when you look at the crime victims' rights, he's a supporter of that, and he wants to ensure that the public is made aware of these types of events, that increasing the public awareness of the rights, needs, and concerns of and services available to assist victims and survivors of crimes in the United States. And so here again, he looks at the whole spectrum. So on this side, he's looking at the crime victims and their families and those who survive the being victimized by crimes. But wow. At the same time, you have to applaud him for not ignoring the fact that we have thousands of people who are wrongfully convicted and sitting in prison. You have people that are sitting on death row who are innocent, And so to turn a blind eye to that would not be justice. Senator Leahy is not turning his eye against that either. He knows that the system is broke, and he wants to ensure that we have a full a legitimate, let's put it that way, a legitimate system, because right now our system is not legitimate. It's anything but.
Oh,
then that's without question. Cliff?
No, I was just going to echo the same thing. You know, when you look at a system that's broken, again, you have to recognize and deal with the fact that there's an issue here. And until we can put that on the table, and until we, can recognize that, nothing's going to happen. And that is what Senator Leahy is saying to the rest of Congress. Look, it's broken. We know it's broken. Everybody in Congress knows there's issues. That's why, you know, they have this political posturing. But what he's realized is that the public sees that, hey, it's broken. Everything is transparent now. The public understands what's going on. The American people see that something is amiss in Congress with the judicial system, with the legislation. There are issues, and we have to deal with them. We have to.
Well, and Sam, as we sit here, you know, there are a lot of things that we can look at that we know makes a difference. Sam, there's the Runaway and Homeless Youth and Trafficking Prevention Act. This deals, and I think this is really critical, Sam, as we look at this one. We're talking about the children of America.
Yeah.
We're talking about the future leaders of this country. And Senator Leahy, under this particular legislation, basically is a program for short-term emergency shelter and family reunification services to runaway and homeless youth, to require local centers to provide safe shelter and services, including trauma-informed services for runaway and homeless youth, and inappropriate services for their families, including individuals they identify as family, extends the maximum stay at a BCG shelter from 21 to 30 days, requires a shelter to provide suicide prevention services, allows shelter services to include trauma-informed gender sexual exploitation and assessment of family engagement and support for reunification, interventions and services for parents or legal guardians of such youth or individuals they identify as family.
Well, you know, Lamont,
I mean, how big is that, Sam?
Well, you just look at two components of that, one being trafficking, the other being sexual exploitation. That's huge. I mean, when if you could just look at the number of major cities in this nation where trafficking is occurring. Look at the number of major cities in this nation where exploitation of children is occurring from a sexual standpoint. The internet. I mean, and when kids find themselves on the street, whether they are runaway, whether they were put out, or what have you, that those type of situations are compounded because of the fact that this kid is going to do whatever they feel they need to do in order to survive.
Well, you know, the big thing in Congress last summer was the trafficking situation,
yeah,
which was huge.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. We talk about Susie and Joe and little Tommy every week.
Yeah.
But this is a reality. Senator Leahy, it's kind of, where did this man come from?
Well, and you know, we need to provide a sanctuary for the kids.
But,
I mean,
you look at, everybody was a kid once. And when you look at them, you say, hey, they're going to make mistakes. Kids get angry at their parents. They run away from home. Then they find themselves in dire situations where they've been picked up, you know, by whoever. They might get hooked up on drugs. They might, you know.
Prostitution.
Prostitution. All these things might happen, but Senator Leahy brings it from, again, just a common sense approach that, hey, we need to help the children. This is, like you say, Lamont, the future of America.
Yeah.
We need to ensure that we do our best to protect them, that if they, in their teenage years have fallen on hard times, are basically acting out, and whatever they're doing, we don't need to take them and throw them away. We see that with other third world countries. Look at Brazil. They have a whole community of underage children that are basically raising themselves. And sure. Senator Leahy wants to ensure that in America, our streets don't become that. That there has to be help for the kids to say, you went through a situation, we're here to help you to get out of it.
Well, and I was going to say, and Lisa, I want to get your thoughts on this. From a return on investment perspective, you know, what's the return on investment? I mean, you know, you have these kids that are out there. Do we put a little money toward a grant to help build shelters or have shelters available for them when they find themselves in this type of situation? Or do we allow them to just go on and do whatever they want to do and eventually add to our prison population?
Exactly. You're going to end up with a lot of these kids dealing drugs, being prostitutes. They're going to end up in our prisons, making the prison population grow even beyond what it is now. All they're doing is it's like they're breeding criminals. They're looking to make more criminals to put in our prison so that they can keep making money off of them.
So I would venture to say that Lamont, this falls in the category of smart legislation. I mean, you have to look at what makes sense. What makes sense? Where do we want to put our money in order to? It's kind of like the old saying, pay me now, pay me later. So Senator Leahy sees this as a situation. Okay, let's authorize some funds for this type of thing, because the benefit of doing it far outweighs
new word, huh, Sam?
Far outweighs allowing them to just continue to go down that road.
No, and I think that's a good point, Sam. And here's the thing that really stands out to you is the fact that Patrick Leahy is working with families in regards to not only the children, but he's working with families, the members of the family as well. Whether it's the mother, the father, he said anyone that claims to be or associated as a legal guardian, that they consider them to be family.
Right.
I think sometimes legislation goes to one point and stops. It seems like Patrick Leahy actually takes it and goes to a much further step, and that's ensuring that the support system behind these kids is just not in a you know, fixing, putting them in a shelter and leaving them there, but they're offering their legal guardian
services.
And services.
Yeah.
And suicide prevention, as you know, in this country, the teen suicide statistics are alarming. Those are things that that really, really seem to matter. I think Patrick Leahy, man, I tell you, he seems to be a guardian of justice and of bringing about change, and really a man with a heart for caring about the human spirit.
Absolutely. And you know, those folks who are, I think the citizens of the state of Vermont are fortunate to have a senator like Patrick Leahy. And, you know, a person, let's just, you know, look at it this way. A person is not going to continue to be elected into office if they're not doing something.
Absolutely.
You know, all of the folks on Capitol Hill, they find themselves in the political battles and so forth across back and forth the aisle. But when you are a leader and take on a leadership role, as Senator Patrick Leahy has over the years, and is a very well-respected member of the Senate, I think he rises above the fray. He rises above all the what you would call the noise. And so, you know, there are a lot of people that like to hear themselves talk. And Lamont, you made the comment earlier that Senator Leahy, when you listen to him talk, he's very mild-mannered.
Sure.
You know, the way he conveys his message when he's doing a press conference, whatever. You know, not very excitable.
But the content of what he's
Absolutely.
Talking about and the actions that he's bringing about, you know what? You can talk in a bucket. If changes are happening, doesn't matter. And Patrick Leahy, Senator Patrick Leahy, we salute tonight as we get ready to go to break now. Folks, this just has been a wonderful evening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And I guess we are on the steps of our nation's capital. Hang in there with us. We're coming right back as we continue to shine the spotlight on a champion and an administrator of justice making a difference all across the USA. He's Senator Patrick Leahy. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of AJC Radio and a campaign that we have started that is underway entitled Spotlight on Capitol Hill. This program is new to AJC Radio, but it is an exciting time when we take a few moments every Thursday evening to highlight members of Congress, their initiatives that are not only important to them, their constituents, and the nation as a whole. We invite you every Thursday to tune in to AJC Radio to hear your congressman or your senator and their initiatives that are here to shape a nation and to bring about change. We invite you cordially, and as we fight for justice, as we seek justice daily, we'll come together as not only the American people. Join us every Thursday for Spotlight on Capitol Hill. God bless you, and as always, God bless America.
The racial composition of the prison population in the United States is very different from the population at large. If people are worried about inequality in America today, I think this deserves more attention in the discussion. Racial inequality in the criminal justice system gets ignored because it doesn't affect most people. In 2010, over 1.6 million people were in state and federal prisons within the United States. So, 497 out of every 100,000 Americans were in jail. About half of 1%. Less than 1%. That doesn't seem very large, but when you separate that population by race, you recognize that the personal effects of the criminal justice system are very unequally shared throughout our society. Whites make up 64% of the total population, but only 31% of the incarcerated population. Blacks represent 14% of society, but 36% of the prison population. Hispanics are 16% of America, but 24% of the American prison population. Less than 1 in 100 Americans are currently in jail, but for some races, genders, and age groups, that ratio is a lot larger. For example, if you're young, black, and male, it's closer to about 1 in 4. That means you'd have a higher probability of going to jail than of getting married or going to college. These results are unequal and problematic, as poor black communities lack so many of their members. But what can be done? The causes of this trend are undoubtedly complicated and multi-causal. But there is reason to suggest that part of the blame is our criminal justice system itself. In the ways police officers enforce laws, in the ways that laws are written and prosecuted, and more. In many cases, it is not overt racism by individual actors. Many police officers, prosecutors, and judges are undoubtedly trying to be fair and trying to do the right thing. But economics can explain how unequal enforcement of the criminal law happens anyway. This is because the political and bureaucratic structure of the criminal justice system creates perverse incentives. The formal laws surrounding drug prohibition, for example, are written as if to be colorblind. But people with different levels of wealth face different costs and benefits to participating in the drug trade. Different groups consume different drugs at different rates, and lastly, those groups are politically represented in very different quantities. Thus, they are arrested and incarcerated at very different rates. How could minority groups hope to use the political process to fix inequality when they are systematically over-incarcerated and disenfranchised? Despite noble intentions, politics often does not affect the basic incentives of costs and benefits faced by political or citizen actors. We might need a new approach to social change if we are going to address these problems. We definitely need more study into the causes of inequality, and we should admit that radical changes might be both necessary and preferable to the status quo.
AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. Lamont, what tune is that?
You know what? I'll tell you what. That's not on me. But I'll tell you what, folks. We are moving into a new dimension. We'll go with that one. And I'll tell you what, that new dimension starts with somebody on Capitol Hill by the name of Senator Patrick Leahy. And, you know, if you ever watched anything on television on the Sci-Fi Network, when something really, really something was going to happen, you usually hear some music like that. But when you hear this music, this means we're getting ready to take off.
There you go.
And that's where we are tonight. And great respect for our colleague Cliff Stewart for that selection. But I'll tell you
we're
what.
More than Dallas, so we good.
So, folks, as we have, Sam, as we, to do what you call a recap.
Yeah.
Of a man in Washington with a human heart and a human spirit to make a difference and to continue, as we said, 40 years in search for change.
Well, you know, Lamont, I have to go back to one of the things that you pointed out earlier, and that was from the clip that we played where Senator Leahy made the comment that it felt like the way it was when he first went to Washington, D.C. And that has to be a very, very, very monumental statement. Because obviously he was reminiscing on a time when he felt that they were making a lot more progress, and because of the fact that there was a lot more bipartisan activity. And so with these type of issues, when you talk about judiciary, when you talk about judicial reform, prison reform, the types of things, the issues that we're dealing with solitary confinement, all of these things that our system needs to be fixed. And like you said, when you have someone like Senator Patrick Leahy, who he's showing his heart, you know, and showing the fact that something needs to happen. And that's very important. And I think we, you know, as AJC Radio, me, you, Cliff and Lisa, you know, talking about Senator Leahy, it really makes you say, hey, we need more people like that
in
Washington, D.C.
Well, Sam, I'll tell you what, we talk about the human spirit and the kindness, the heart that Senator Patrick Leahy is displaying. You don't make these steps in Washington talking about youth and caring about their well-being and their support and programs to help with a troubled child or a kid that may have fell off the track. And you remember not too long ago, Vice President Biden's son passed away.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, Patrick Leahy suffered a loss with that as well. Let's hear what he had to say about Vice President Biden's son.
Before I begin my comments on the USA Freedom Act, I'm going to speak for a moment on a personal matter. Marcel and I have known Bo Biden since he was a child. I'm the longest serving member of the Senate. When I came here, there was one senator who was one term senior to me. That was Joe Biden. I knew the tragedy his family had gone through, and I cherished time in his office right near mine when his sons, Bo and Hunter, would be there with him. I watched him grow up. I saw Bo Biden become the epitome of what a state's attorney general should be. That's a model that all attorneys general throughout the country could have followed. Progressive, worried about improving the law, improving people's lives, and he did that. I know how much we appreciate when we see he and Haley at an event. We get a chance for Marcel and I to talk with them. It was like picking up a conversation that ended just a few minutes before. But I remember one thing especially about him. I was in Iraq during the war. There was a day when it was well over 100 degrees out. I was being brought to a place where there's going to be a briefing, being zipped into this building. There are a number of soldiers wearing t-shirt, shorts, and sidearms, playing ball outside in this 110, 120 degree heat. Then when the door, one of them turned around and gave me a big wave, but his arm blocked his face. I wasn't sure who it was. I kind of waved back. Pretty soon he came to the door as Bo Biden. I remember we gave each other a big hug, and he was there as a captain of the Delaware Reserve, decorated for his service. We talked about what he was doing. He was praising the men and women who worked there. Nothing about anything that he might do, he's praising everybody else.
Well, there you have it, Sam. I mean, you know, when we begin to talk about Senator Leahy, we talk about Vice President Biden, his loss, the loss to the president, the family unit, if you will, that's there. And Senator Leahy, again, shows another side of it's just not politics as usual in Washington.
You can't fake that.
You don't fake that.
Yeah.
And as we reflect, you know, looking at Senator Leahy, elected to the United States Senate in 1974, remains the only Democrat elected to this office from Vermont. 34, he was the youngest U.S. Senator ever to be elected from the Green Mountain State. And who do we shine that honor to tonight? It goes to Senator Patrick Leahy, a man that has been in Congress for over 40 years and continues to fight for justice. I mean, if that doesn't make you feel American, I don't know what will. I think it speaks to the hope that we have that things will get better in this country, and that's why it is so important to go to the polls. Nobody knew 40 years ago when they went to the polls the impact this man would have on the nation. You never know the impact your vote is going to have. And that's why America, Sam, needs to get involved and continue to get involved and do what is right and vote. That is so very, very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, just want to invite folks to go out to the senator's website at www.leahy.senate.gov. And you'll find a lot of information out there about Senator Leahy, a lot of the things that he's involved in, where he is in the news, you know, quite regularly, in support of all the things that we talked about this evening. And, you know, obviously, you know, he's doing his due diligence and the things that he needs to do to take care of the folks there in the great state of Vermont. But, you know, the fact that he recognizes the systemic problems across the nation, he stepped across the boundaries and across the border of the state of Vermont and is reaching across the aisle to all of the his colleagues and saying, okay, we need to work together to fix some of the problems that are going to destroy this nation if we don't fix them. Cliff, your thoughts?
I totally agree with what you're saying, Sam. I mean, it starts with the legislators, and that begins at our vote. And like Lamont said, we have to get out there. We have to, you know, for those who are throwing their hat in the ring, we have to get out there and get behind them and say that I support you as a person and what you believe. You know, we all can't be a part of Congress. We all can't be a senator. We all can't be the president. But we can, you know, the things that we believe in, we can get out there and back them. We can go out there, and when we see someone like Senator Leahy, we see the legislation that he lays down, we can say we totally support you in what you do. And how do we do that? We do that with our votes. We do that with our voices, by getting out and saying, you know, I stand with you and I support you in what you do.
And reaching across the aisle, Sam, as he did, like he said, for some of these major legislation initiatives that were passed, didn't hesitate to reach across the aisle. And it kind of goes back to people use the terminology, they go back to the old school, if you will, the old way of doing things, and that was a handshake. That was honor, a man that his name had honor, it had respect. That handshake meant something. And Senator Leahy, you could hear when he was talking in that clip, Sam, it made me feel so good when he said, I'm happy to feel this, what I felt 40 years ago. That speaks such loud volumes to the senator and for all that he's doing and what's going on. It is fascinating. Lisa, as we were talking about earlier, in regards to the the children, the actors, again, Leahy's heart for kids, for country, for citizens, for comrade, everything you can think of as a mother, and I put this to you that way, when you know you got somebody in Washington that does have the heart for mothers and for women, yeah. The domestic violence, protecting, that's got to make you feel good as a young lady.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a great honor tonight to be recognizing such a man who has such values and is so passionate about things that do concern concerns for women, concerns for children. That is, everyone's not doing that. I mean, yeah, there are a group of people that are doing it, but it's not everyone. It's a small group.
Yeah.
And we need more of that. We need more people concerned, because women and children are usually, on the tail end of everything.
Sure. Sure, and I think that point is a point, Sam, well taken. That this is, again, spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursdays, man, on AJC Radio. I mean, this gets the juices going. I mean, it makes you want to get out the bed and put the boots on, and say, man, let's go ahead and get in the battle and start going. And I'm telling you, it's a good feeling to know that there are people up there. But you know what? A lot of people don't take the time to do the homework.
Yeah.
They don't take the time to say, you know what, and it's going to cost you something to get involved. Get involved.
And, you look at a situation like this, and, Senator Leahy doesn't even represent the state from which we live. But you don't want to see someone like this leave office. And when the time comes that he retires, that you just hope that someone of that same staying power, that same caliber, that same level of commitment for the overall process of government steps into his shoes. I mean, whoever comes along in the state of Vermont at whatever time Senator Leahy decides to step off, they have some very, very big shoes to fill.
Well, and what you hope, Sam, with that said, is that you got to believe that there are young senators, junior senators, people that have just arrived in Washington for this Congress, that are going to be looking to the veterans, if you will, the leaders, those that are the examples, the locker room leaders, they call them in sports, but the leaders of the locker room of Capitol Hill. Senator Leahy fits and falls under that.
Yeah.
So I think, I believe that somewhere along the way, with somebody there that long and doing what he's done, you got to have some senators out there and congressmen out there that are looking to him as a role model,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, as a mentor or something.
As a mentor to say, you know what, I believe I'll follow in his steps. And that's why it's so important that what you do as an individual on Capitol Hill is so very, very important.
Absolutely.
So many people are definitely tuning in and watching you.
Absolutely. So where do we go from here as far as the spotlight on Capitol Hill? I think what folks can go to our website and listen to excerpts of this segment on Spotlight on Capitol Hill. Go to AJCRadio.com. Again, AJCRadio.com for the Thursday night edition of Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And as you have been listening this evening, we have been putting the spotlight on Senator Patrick Leahy from the state of Vermont. And you can go out to our archives, and you can also hear an excellent interview that you did, Lamont, with Congressman Charles Rangel from the state of New York. We also had Senator Charles Schumer from New York. We were kind of focused on New York there for a moment. We had Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, and then we've also had a couple of other spotlights that we really encourage you to go out there and listen to.
And Sam, the spotlight on Capitol Hill is just going to get better.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
we got some good ones lined up.
We got some good ones lined up, and ladies and gentlemen, call the family, call the aunt, the uncles, call the dog and the cat, bring them on in, and make it a family affair. Our pets are a part of the family. Bring them in there.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You know what? When we're talking about our environment,
yeah,
when we're talking about everything that's outside life, guess what? That affects old Buck in the backyard, man.
There you go.
If the environment gets messed up, guess what? Buck's not going to do too well. He ain't going to feel like running around the block. So, folks, if you think politics doesn't come into play with everything we do in life, think again, man, because this is good stuff. So join us every Thursday for Spotlight on Capitol Hill. Folks, tune in next Tuesday. We got a humdinger coming on Tuesday. the purpose for civil rights,
yeah,
and the reason they need to be protected. And we learned that from the tragedy in Cincinnati. It's going to be a good one.
Absolutely.
Sam?
You know, and one of the things, we got to spend just a couple of moments talking about the IRP 6. You know, the IRP 6 is very special to A Just Cause and to AJC Radio. IRP 6 are David Banks, Dave Zerpolo, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Gary Walker. For more information about the IRP 6, go to freetheirp6.org, and you'll find a lot of in-depth information out there on that. Background on the case. This is a case in which that involves six IT executives of IRP Solutions Corporation that have been wrongfully incarcerated now for 3 years. There's a lot of information out there about that. There are several people who could have done something to prevent this that did not. Lamont?
And on top of that, we're talking about six men that hold the key to ISIS and crippling them with software that was developed to keep your children tonight as you tuck them into bed. The IRP 6.
The Silk software, right?
The Silk software has the capabilities of keeping your children safe another night in the United States. Folks, go to the website, check out the video on ISIS. Lisa, who were those that were responsible for this tragedy?
We have U.S. Attorney John Walsh. We have, Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch. Assistant U.S. Attorney Sunita Hazra. Attorney Greg Holberg. Goldberg. Judge Christine Arguello. Judge Jerome Holmes. Judge Bobby Baldock. Judge Harris Hart. Judge Jackson. Judge Schaefer. Darlene Martinez. Agent John Smith. Agent Robert Moen, former Agent John Epke, former Agent Gary Hillberry, Thomas Goodread, Clifford Barnard, Thomas Richard, Robert Berger, Mitchell Baker, Boston Stanton Jr., Rick Kornfeld, Mark Garagos, and last but certainly not least, Miss Susan Holland.
Yes, absolutely. Those are the ones responsible for putting the IRP 6 in the prison unlawfully for 3 years. We want to say thank you to everybody who called in tonight. All of your comments, your questions were appreciated. Thank you to everybody in the chat room. You guys are blowing it up in there tonight. We certainly appreciate that. We also want to say thank you to our production crew. We got K&D Productions, Captain Kyle, Dustin Jackson, helping out Ill Skillers Girl with the Honeycomb Kids, bringing up the rear. They're really coming up to speed. Learning the ropes back there. Also, I want to say thank you to our production support team. They bring us accurate and up-to-date information so we can pass that on to you. To the truth, we heard from you tonight. We always know you're out there, and we appreciate it.
Lisa, the IRP 6 were also impacted in a major way as far as their families are concerned. How can our listeners help them?
Yes, if they go ahead and go out to a website, it's called GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. Do a search on IRP 6. It'll have a link there where you can listen, watch a little video about the families and have the opportunity to donate directly to those families to assist them during this time of need. So anyone who's able, who has the ability, we can't all do the same thing, but everybody can do something. So whatever you can do would be greatly appreciated by those families.
And for archives of this evening's program, as well as other programs from here on AJC Radio, you can go to ajcradio.com. You can go to live365.com for 24/7 AJC programming. And then on Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time for the Progressive Radio Network. You can get there by going to prn.fm. And then there is the 405radio.com and iTunes for on-demand programming. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You won't regret it. Lamont, take us out.
Folks, good night. Enjoy your night. This is AJC Radio bringing the message of justice all around the world.
Good night, everyone.
And releasing the report demonstrates that America, the America I love, is different. As Americans, we cannot sweep our mistakes under the rug and pretend they didn't happen. We have to acknowledge our mistakes. We have to learn from our mistakes. And in this case, we as Americans must and will do everything we can to ensure that our government never tortures again. 5 years ago in 2009, I called for a commission of inquiry to review the then administration's detention, interrogation program, and other sweeping claims of abuse of executive power in the Bush administration. I believe that in order to restore America's moral leadership, we have to acknowledge what happens in our name. because much of the leadership that we can show around the world is not based on our wealth or on the power of our military, but on moral leadership.
Is a threat to justice everywhere.
Uh-huh.